There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
And this is our podcast about how women are portrayed in movies. Hey, is it good? Usually no.
Almost never.
Almost never.
But sometimes a movie surprises us and it's like, oh, it wasn't, it was like only 90% terrible, but like 10% okay.
Yeah.
In its portrayal of women.
And then sometimes you're like, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this happening. I'm tired of this world. Why do we have to have this discussion? But we have to, because someone has to. And then you just spiral and
we
you're just exhausted.
We are heroes. You're right.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. What an exhausting time to be alive.
Indeed.
Well.
But we're here to, I don't know, maybe bring some levity to anyone's life by...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we're not supposed to be the bummer podcast.
Yeah, we're the fun.
We're a fun lift up.
We're fun.
We're fun. We're fun. But sometimes we get pissed off and you just have to be okay with it. It's an upsetting world.
Yeah, we're allowed to have our feelings.
Yeah. I haven't been drinking a Mike's Hard in days. What's going on?
Oh, shit.
I know.
That's what's going on.
I bought
crystals.
We bought crystals.
Yeah, we did. I bought like 8 crystals.
You bought a lot of crystals. I didn't say anything while we were in the store because I was just like, no, she's into it. She's going for it.
Well, I figured
crystals.
I have a lot of things that need addressed in my life, and I bought a crystal for every issue.
I bought crystals yesterday, and I was vibrating at a very high level. I walked for a total of 3 hours. I had a panic attack, but I'm like, I can't handle the energy of the crystals yet. Or maybe I should go back on my bipolar medication. Hard to say. Bought the crystals. Feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bought Picasso Jasper. I'm about to start writing the Great American Novel literally any second. Literally any second. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I can't wait to read.
We're so close. But yes, we bought crystals. Totally fine. We can deal with it. Shout out to all you crystal heads out here. We are become you.
Yes.
Yes.
We are among you. And speaking of like crystally mysticism and doing this,
ooh, a segue.
And that, the movie we're talking about. But before we even do that, let's introduce our guest. She is the creator of Act Like a Girl, which is a podcast. It's a live show. It's a whole movement.
It's a movement.
Susie Dunn.
Hello.
Welcome.
Sorry, I introduced you right as you were swallowing
a
gulp of water.
Also, I have to say, I just got given a bowl, like a pipe, that's completely a crystal.
Whoa.
It's so pretty.
So smoking out of it gives you mental clarity,
I guess.
Or something.
It, yeah, that's like, know, 2-for-1.
My heart, yeah. My brain.
Chakras.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about The Craft.
Yes.
Wait, what? The Craft of screenwriting?
The Craft, yeah. Speaking of, I do have a master's degree in it. I hate to bring it up.
I wanted to open it up.
I'm so excited that this
floor.
Is getting brought up because you want to know what's exciting.
Huh.
There are still only 3 degrees between us.
Oh.
Whoa. Well, now we're even.
Now we're even.
I'll give you one of mine.
Master.
Take one of Caitlin's.
Yeah. For the podcast.
It. Yeah, I've never used it.
Okay, great. Keep it.
Keep it.
My dad will finally be proud of me. It'll be great. Yeah.
So who wants to make a dad proud, honestly? That's so 20th century.
Right. I'm over it. When did you first see this movie? What's your history with this movie?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like I saw this in my teenage years. Mm-hmm. I was probably like 13 or 14.
I think that's like the right age to see it for the first time.
I wish I'd seen it then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was obsessed with it immediately. I mean, it is a teen movie structurally, but it's also like not a teen movie. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, there's some scary imagery. There's some pretty heavy topics. Sexual
assault. I think
it's
good, though. Yeah.
Racism.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it until I was later teens or maybe even early 20s. I think I saw it for the first time in college. And then Jamie...
I saw it at 3 a.m. last night.
Yes.
You've never seen it before?
Never seen it. Which is weird. It's like a movie that I know if I had seen it at the right time, I would have been... Because I was really into witchy shit when I was a teenager and still kind of now. And it would.
I mean, we just bought crystals.
We just bought crystals.
Wait, what do you think?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. I loved the first half of the movie. The second half of the movie, I didn't like the second half. I didn't like the weird turn that it took in the second act. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get
there.
But
in general, I liked what they were going for.
I'll do the recap of the craft. Yes. The recraft. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I loved it.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
I like it. YW.
So it centers on these four girls, Sarah, Nancy, Bonnie, and Rochelle. Sarah's new to town. She just moved to LA from San Francisco. And she's like already kind of practicing witchcraft and magic. And
Sarah hot. All
of them are babes.
Yeah, it's a hot movie.
There's hotness.
There's a lot of hot, not really any hot men to speak of.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Skeet. Not his character.
Who's Skeet?
Skeet Ulrich.
That's his real name.
Oh wait, who the jock?
Yeah, the guy that
His name is Skeet.
His name is Skeet.
Have you ever
like
heard
the
of Skeet?
Short term for masturbation? Like Skeet. like Skeet motherfucker?
Yeah.
Skeet goddamn.
Skeet motherfucker Earl.
Skeet goddamn.
Ulrich. Yeah.
He's on Riverdale. This is all wild. I didn't know he's the guy from Riverdale. Yeah. Well, I guess he's hot.
I find
he's
him
hotter now,
attractive.
I think.
Really?
I think he's hotter now.
I would agree he's hotter now. I didn't think he was hot in The Craft.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, is he hot in Riverdale? I think yes.
His character is deplorable, so maybe that's why.
Well, but I like that this movie totally harkens us to discuss the male characters that way. Like, in a way that generally you would discuss the female characters, right? Like, it's just, very easy to be well, he's hot, he's not.
Yeah, and then we don't know anything about his character because he's not well-developed
enough. Other
than
that he's... horrifying, but we'll get to that.
We'll get there. So Sarah's like, hey, you guys seem witchy. I'm kind of witchy. Maybe we should all be friends. And the other three girls are like, yeah, we need a fourth because they have to have earth and fire and
everyone
wind.
Knows
and
then there's the rule of fours.
Yeah, the rule of fours. They need a north, south, east, west. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they sort of bring her into the group. And Sarah is the most talented of the witches. So she's able to introduce them to different spells. And like, hey, wait a minute. There's this racist girl. Let's make her hair fall out. Wait a minute. There's this boy, Skeet.
Sarah, she's the best witch, but she knows the least. And then they, kind of teach her how to harness a little
bit. Right.
Yeah, she's, the least educated.
Yeah, and so
raw talent.
Yeah.
Right, but then they sort of mold her, and they teach her how to cast the spells, and then they work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they, there's different people who they sort of want to cast spells on, either to punish them for being racist, i.e.
Which, by
Christine
the way,
Taylor.
All racist people should just go bald. Fuck Lauren Lizzie.
And that's letting them off the hook too easy.
Right, right. Because some of them might look nice.
Well, it was spoiled bald.
It was a weird...
Her skin.
Oh, I never even made the connection that maybe they were turning her into a skinhead. Because racists sometimes are already bald by choice. Because they're this is part of my...
And then they were
I wonder if the two white guys who wrote this movie thought that hard about it.
I doubt it.
But I like that.
It's also interesting because even though, that's great that they talk about racism and, show a racist character getting her comeuppance. But then, they don't even give Rochelle a lot of validity as a character. Like, we never see her home life. The only time we see her home
life, she's the only character we don't see the home life.
Yeah, she's the only one. Like, we just see her front door. That's it.
I mean, there's, I mean, the back half of this movie just is.
And there's no other person of color besides her.
Yeah, she is the only one I think you even see on screen at any point. Yeah,
which is like, for a movie that takes place in Los Angeles, is like pretty ridiculous.
The craziest thing.
But
they punish these people.
And then Skeet is like, he spreads this rumor that like he and Sarah had sex even though they didn't. But then Sarah's like, well, I still want him to like me. So she casts a spell and he sort of becomes obsessed with her. Yeah. And then Nancy, sort of like the head witch in charge. Yeah.
Dorothy Gale in the terrible movie Return to Oz.
Oh, is that her?
Yes.
I still have not seen that.
Her eyes.
She's a cult figure. Yes. Oh, my God.
Her eyes are like so
those eyes, spooky. That smile.
Yeah.
But she wants to sort of invoke the spirit of Manon.
Yeah. Uh-huh, they worship a male god, which is kind of upsetting.
Right.
It's total bummer.
Manon. He's within me, Manon. That's like 40% of this movie. It like, was like, who's inside of you?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So she, like, they cast this spell or whatever, do this ritual to have him be inside of Nancy. And then it turns her all evil. And then they have this big, they sort of duke it out at the end. Finally, Sarah triumphs because she's the good witch of the
North.
North.
Yep. She's literally, and then is Nancy the witch of the South? Am I,
ooh, I don't
wrong in saying that? She's not of the West. But
I can't remember who's who. I didn't even.
I can't either. But I also think that they assigned them the wrong elements.
Yeah,
in my
opinion. I was thinking that too.
Because I think that Rochelle is definitely air.
Okay.
And Bonnie is definitely earth. And then this
Neve
is like
Campbell.
Different than I think most people would think. But I think Sarah is fire and Nancy is water. Because Nancy is more chaos and fire is like, I don't know, like more controlled and it's all like one thing, whereas water, like other things can exist in it and there can be like different kinds of chaos, whereas fire is just like all this. Anyway, I think about these things a lot.
No, I was just wondering, it's like, am I a fire? Am I a water? Am I a Samantha? Am I a Charlotte? I don't know.
I think you're Earth.
What sign are you? Is it, what kind of sign is it?
I'm a Taurus.
Well, that's Earth.
You're an Earth sign.
Okay.
I'm a fire sign.
I'm a fire sign.
I guess.
Yeah. I'm an Aries.
Leo.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Earth. Well, Earth, Sarah was Earth, right?
Yeah.
I think
that's what
was.
They assigned her to. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
she was Mother Earth. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, I guess I see that argument. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, okay, so something I did find funny in this movie. Okay, so the big problem for me with this movie is the first half of it is all about these teenage goth-adjacent misfits finding each other, bonding. There's a little bit of friction. There's a little bit of click problems, but ultimately it's people in high school finding people that they like and generally doing positive, like, or not horrible things. They make a racist go bald. I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, Neve Campbell gets healed of her scars.
Which,
and is,
by
gets
the way,
confident.
Like, in this universe now, her doctor's being, like, written up about in medical journals for curing her burn.
She's
so
like,
easily.
I did this.
Yeah. Women lifting up women.
Yeah. Women in STEM, even.
Women in STEM. Yeah. Even though the women in STEM, in this case, had nothing to do with it. Yeah. Women in magic.
But she's, like, making major breakthroughs.
Right. I mean, you know, it's about them coming together. And then the second half of the movie, they kind of sell out all the momentum made in the first half and just turn these characters against each other in a really brutal way. And for me, the most frustrating part was, I mean, I guess we're to understand, you know, Nancy gets her wish, which is Manu, inside of her, and she basically becomes a god who can read people's thoughts and fly and appear and blah, blah, blah. But then they basically sell out the characters of Bonnie and Rochelle, who we have started to learn more about, and they have been getting to different degrees. At least we've gotten looks into their lives, and we're sort of understanding where they're coming from and why they want what they want. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but none of that matters anymore. They're just going to do what Nancy tells them to do. And now
shocked.
They're evil.
Yeah, I was always shocked by that choice, that they didn't have them be on Sarah's side.
Or didn't even address we don't see that change take place. It just happened.
Right. Yeah. There's no real buildup or arc Well, are we to believe that Manon and his power is sort of corrupting all of them, or maybe just...
But then why are they still bitches at the end, you know, when they go up to Sarah and they're like, hey, we don't have powers anymore. Do you have power? Like, it was just weird because they all came together as friends, and then it sort of... And I thought of that too, of like, oh, maybe they're just being manipulated by Nancy and Mama mentally.
Right. Mama.
But even after that's no longer a thing, it's like, oh, are we supposed to think that these three were just not good people the whole time? Because I thought that sucks.
I think,
I don't like that.
There is sort of that implication because, come to think of it, I don't think Mama is a bad force.
He's supposed to be everything?
Yeah, he's everything.
He's
the world. And as the witch store lady, I can't remember what her character's name is.
I'm pretty sure it's a witch store lady.
Yeah, witch store lady. She says, like, there's evil and good in nature and in the world. So, like, it's really the witch who
chooses which one to harness.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
So.
And also, like, they steal from her in the beginning, which as a teenager, I stole stuff sometimes.
Sure.
But, like, more like from CVS than, like, from a local.
From a mom and pop shop.
Like a locally owned.
And to her credit, I mean, she doesn't seem super bothered by it. Like, you know, like the woman who owns the New Age shop is just like, oh, you're stealing again? And she's like, yeah, I don't have any money. I was like, this is a weird dynamic. Why would you let them keep coming in? But she's so chill. She's in with Manos.
She's just like, whatever. Yeah, this is life.
That's a good point, though, about this movie starts out as, like, a depiction of female friendship. And you're like, oh, cool. I'm glad they all found each other. And even though some of them are, you know, like, rough around the edges, they found each other. And that's nice. And then, by the end, they've pretty much all, the three original witches all turn on Sarah. They try to kill her, even.
And they pretend, like, her dad and stepmom are dead.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was the thing that made me laugh. It was like, they're like, oh, man, it was a flight from L.A. to San Francisco. I'm like, that's like an 8-minute flight. How can you get that wrong? She should have known they were lying.
Yeah, right.
Because at the end, you see her dad, and he's like, hey, it's me. I was like, of course, you took a 2-minute flight. Well, you're fine. He's fine.
I love those parental relationships. I love Sarah and her dad. They're so cute together. Like, I love that she doesn't have daddy issues.
Yeah, he's like kind of the only male character that you don't end up absolutely hating.
Yeah, and he fully supports her, like when that guy shows up when they first get to the house.
Oh, the snake man.
Yeah, the snake man. Like he freaks out on him. Yeah, that was so fucking weird. He like freaks out on him, you know, rather than like, I don't know, victim blaming or something.
Right.
And I also love Nancy and her mom's relationship, which I do think also gets spoiled by the second half, because it's like they have, they're a mess, but like they're each other's mess.
I didn't like Nancy. It's interesting because, again, it's like the movie does a lot of work in the front half to develop Nancy's character as like, yes, she is jealous of Sarah, which is like not atypical for a teenage girl. And so it was like, okay, she's like, you know, she's tough, but like she, you know, she doesn't seem like a bad person. Mm-hmm. And then they give us her backstory, which is like she has a brutal home life. Like her mom and her stepdad, are alcoholics who are screaming at her from the second, and her mom is the first one to yell at her. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, she has a really, really, really hard home life. And then sort of sells that out when they're just like, okay, now she's an all-powerful being and she's an evil bitch. And at the end, she's punished by being in a mental asylum and, you know, in a kind of needlessly long montage of her, you know, squirming around in a straitjacket.
I thought that this time, too. I was like, okay, we get it. Cut. Like,
yeah, just like, what did it... Were they like, no, we need more? Like, but either way, it was just like, man, like, I don't get why this movie went the way it did, because it just sacrificed all the really good character development they were doing to just turn girls against each other for the sake of it. It felt like, I don't know.
I have conflicting feelings about it the same way I do for like Heathers and Mean Girls, where it's like a depiction of female friendship, which is like always, to me, kind of just defaults as like, oh, cool, I'm glad that there's a movie about this.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're often shown as like, at least some of them are like really awful to each other, to the point where they're killing each other or trying to kill each other or just like bullying each other. So there's that I'm like, okay, well, yeah, like you said, toward the second half and toward the end, the three original girls.
Two of the characters are basically, they're just like, well, whatever. Well, like, they just totally blow them off. I don't know.
Rochelle and Bonnie.
Yeah. They're just like, well, everything. Hope you enjoyed the first half of them because now they're just going to be around.
It's also so interesting. Like, their hair all just gets so much better throughout.
As they grow more powerful.
And I also love that, I can't even remember why she said this, but my favorite line in the whole movie was when Rochelle is like, and I told her, you're white, honey, just deal with it.
Oh, yeah. They're like, what did Nancy wish for? She's like, I don't know. She wished to not be white trash anymore or something.
Yes,
I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I was like, and I told her, you're white. Right. You can't
just deal with it.
I guess I didn't really, like, the takeaway I got from Nancy and her mom, because even after we see the stepfather have a witch-induced heart attack and he dies and then they get money, that's all like, great, 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 love to see a villainous male die in front of me.
I love that scene in the trailer, too, when they're talking with the guy that's, like, the lawyer will, like, all the different, like, the art department must have had so much fun creating that scene because there's, like, different wallpaper on each wall of the trailer and, like, the two girls are just, like, sitting and smoking cigarettes.
The mother-daughter smoking rules.
It's so good. I love it.
And they're like, $175,000? $175,000?
Yeah, she looks like she's crying, but then she's laughing. It's so good.
Yeah. And so that was all great, but then I feel like where you sort of leave off with Nancy and her mom is they move to this really nice apartment, which you're just like, $175,000? But it was 1996.
Right.
So then they move into this amazing apartment in L.A.
With a jukebox.
With the jukebox that only plays Connie Bradley? Bailey? Something
Connie,
like that?
Connie Walker? No.
Connie
Walker, my favorite.
Connie Francis.
Brand of
Connie Francis.
Connie
whiskey.
Francis.
And
Connie Walker.
My favorite. That's feminist Johnny Walker. but then with I'm pretty sure the last time we see Nancy's mom, you can tell
when she closes the door in her face.
Right, because her mom is still kind of a disaster alcoholic who's not thinking about her daughter.
Right.
And so it's like, well, you know, that's not what's going to make Nancy happy, even though that improves her situation by not having a piece of shit stepdad anymore and having a better living situation. Her mom's still an alcoholic and doesn't know how to take care of her kid.
Right.
And that is, like, kind of devastating and sad and hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And also just made me feel worse when they turned Nancy into a total evil demon.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I feel like if you're going to do that to a character, if you know at the beginning you're going to take this character and turn them completely irredeemably evil, then don't give them a very sympathetic backstory that, like, possibly a girl seeing that movie could relate
also
with.
Have,
right.
Yeah.
You know, because so many, I mean, you know, it's not uncommon to have an alcoholic parent.
It's so true. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just weird to see that.
There's also a moment where, like, her stepdad, she's, like, wearing a robe, and he's like, you could almost see through it. And he, like, kind of yanks on her robe, and it's, weirdly sexual.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
horny mess. Yeah. Bad.
Another thing that I struggled with in this movie is that a lot of the spells that they, because each of the four girls has sort of like their own
thing.
Character arc, their thing
right.
that they're trying to achieve. And
right.
at least two of them are like either very superficial or selfish, where Bonnie is trying to remove the scars so that she can be beautiful on the outside as well as inside.
I know, and I hate that.
And then as soon as that happens, she turns like shit on the inside. She's like,
But also when they were just, like, when Sarah was giving her a hard time in the car, I don't know, and I say this as a teenager that wore a back brace, like when Sarah turned to Bonnie and was like, ever since you started looking like a normal girl, you've become a real bitch, or like what that was summarized.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Give Bonnie like a couple months to be a little bitch and be
right.
like, I'm cute now. I was like, man, because getting out of a physical prison is exciting. And give her a couple months. I don't know. I was like,
yeah. Let her dress sexy and walk around.
Yeah, like let her have that catharsis.
Sure.
She'll get over it.
I think, like, for a narrative of a movie, it was a little bit of a bummer to like see Bonnie like so, like her hair like so greasy and like in her face and just like completely covered up because of this scar, you know, and then like the minute it's off, she's like sexy Neve Campbell all of a sudden.
She starts out very Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, but
I think almost like covering her face with her hair to be like, oh, please don't notice it's Neve Campbell and she's very hot. Like,
right.
Just like, because she's hot at the beginning of the movie too. But
right.
It's that crazy Hollywood thing where they're just like, we're just going to gaslight you into thinking she's not hot because
we'll
she looks kind of dirty.
A little bit.
She's going to have a middle part and you're going to be fooled.
Well, between that, her, like, her wanting to remove her scars, and Sarah, who's the main character that we're most supposed to identify with and root for,
right.
her thing is that she wants this boy to like her even after he spread these like vicious rumors about her. And
right.
so I want to go through that arc really quick.
Okay.
Skeet's character arc.
Skeet, goddamn.
A new segment on every episode of the Bechdel cast, Skeet's character arc. So, okay, so the first thing you see is like him talking to Sarah, and he's like, oh, those girls over there, the bitches of Eastwick, and he like slut shames Nancy, and like we're like, oh, I don't
literally
know,
literally it's just like, she's a slut.
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, we know how he feels.
So he's like shit talking them, and then they go on a date, he and Sarah. They're like flirting. He's like, oh, your head is good for kissing, can I? He asks.
Yeah, he
gets permission.
He does. I know that too. I know.
And then, and I was like, feminist icon Skeet asks permission to kiss. Uh-huh. That never happens.
Uh-huh. Skeet Ulrich.
I was like, wow, we never
yes.
see that in a movie.
I literally said out loud last night, I was like, God damn it, that's so sexy. And then he fucks it all up.
Right.
Which is weird because he, she says no. And he's like, oh. And then she's like, are you mad? And he says, no. And then you're like, and then the scene cuts to the next day. You're like,
well they do kiss.
They do. Well, yeah, they do kiss. But she consents to that.
It totally adds validity to a story because his friends see them making out and then they're leaving.
Right.
That's like key that like they do kiss because then everybody's like, well, we saw them making out.
But they don't see what happens afterwards.
Right. Well, because then he asks her to go home with him and she says no. And he's like saying he's okay with it, but the subtext of his tone and stuff like that is he's annoyed and pissed off that she won't go home with him. So then he spreads the rumor that they slept together, and then she calls him out on it. She's like, you're a lying sack of shit. Fuck
Hell
you.
Yeah.
And he's like really rude to her. And then she's like, oh, I better cast a spell to make him like me, even though he has proved himself as a piece of shit.
He also says like out, like he like yells so that everyone hears. He's like, I don't want to date you again or whatever. Like just to add even more validity to a shitty, shitty story.
And his stupid pants. There he has terrible pants in this movie. Skeet.
It's
who is in
90s.
Charge of Skeet's pants?
Oh, by the way, this movie completely was passing the Bechdel test until minute 13, which I think is really good.
Oh,
and that never happens.
Yeah.
And at minute
it only
13,
has to happen one time.
And at minute 13, they talk about how much they don't like the guys. That's like the first way that it...
That was another part I liked about the front half of this movie is that at the beginning when... I mean, granted, do Nancy, Bonnie, and Rochelle... basically bully Sarah into being their friend? Yes. Is that clicky and problematic? Yes. But
they're just like, come with us.
They're like, you're our friend now.
You're coming with us.
Which kind of happens in a more fun way in Mean Girls. But it's, I mean, that's high school, I guess. But, you know, worth saying. But they sort of look out for each other a little bit where Nancy, very in no uncertain terms, says, look out for Skeet. He's a predator. He'll hit on anyone with tits. Trust me, he spreads disease.
Except Bonnie, I know
from experience.
Right. Except Bonnie, because she still has a middle part for like 20 more minutes, and then she'll start fucking anyone she wants. But and then when that happens, and Sarah finds out the hard way that Skeet's an asshole, Nancy sort of gloats a little bit, but ultimately doesn't shame her for it, doesn't doubt her story,
it's
and is
so
like,
true.
"What did I tell you?"
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that is sort of what convinces Sarah. Okay, I'll be friends with these girls because they warned me and I wanted to learn anyways, which seems like a very teenage girl move. And then, you know, now I have a reason to trust them.
Right.
And so I was like, that's a, you know, pretty solid friendship bonding moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. And was like one of my favorite parts of them coming together. Light as a feather, stiff as a board scene.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm
so good.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with that scene.
Because it's like, it's the best. And they're sort of doing like the like mid to late 90s, almost pre-Matrixy kind of technology where you see the 360 shot of Rochelle floating a foot off. You're just like,
we just want to prove that, you know, there's not some weird thing.
She's laying on a green block, but I like, it looks so real. It's exciting. It's Man, yeah, that was cool. I loved that scene.
Yeah. So then where Skeet's arc lands is that he gets this spell cast on him. He falls in love with her and starts stalking her. Then this tries to rape Sarah. And
but by then it's the second half of the movie, right, where it seems like all the harmless / very little harm done they do in the first half that's fun to watch suddenly comes back on them threefold in the second half, and I feel like punishes female characters unnecessarily.
Everything post the invoking and summoning of Manon, yeah, that's when things take a turn. So then he tries to rape her, she runs away, and then Nancy's like, we're gonna get revenge on this guy.
Right.
So she goes and like puts a lot of unwanted sexual contact on him. And then
Turns into Sarah
and has sex with him, and that could probably be considered rape. Like,
did they have sex though?
I mean, it seemed like
it's okay. Like they were starting to, right?
And that's another like selling out of a character that just didn't like that didn't make sense to me. Other than once Nancy had method power, like she just wanted to use it to cause chaos to hurt anybody. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, because at first when she said, I'm going to go get revenge on him, I was like, all right, this seems like something this character would do, because she's pissed off and wants to take care of it probably in a chaotic way.
Right.
But then ends up having totally selfish motives that's like, I don't really believe that.
That
I don't
scene
know.
Ends with him getting magicked to death out of a window, like pushed by magic out of a window.
Wait, but does he die, though?
I think he dies.
He does.
He did die. Okay. I couldn't remember. Skeet. Or like, I couldn't
and it's just
tell
like, start
he,
there.
Like,
just
super
just kill him Skeet if you want to get revenge on him.
I mean, honestly, his death scene didn't. The sex scene that precedes it is very problematic and confusing and just like, ooh, what are the ethics of this?
Well, right.
But his death scene, I really liked.
That's the problem, is that she, like, quite literally asked for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, our big issue with talking about rape culture is, well, she was asking for it. Like, she quite literally
asked
for him.
By casting the spell?
Yeah. She, like, literally asked for him to fall head over heels in love with her. Not to rape her, obviously.
Sure.
No.
But I'm saying,
and
like,
that's, like,
that's why it's so problematic.
And that spell was so fun at first, too, where it was just like, he was just like, I want to carry your books. Why can't I stop thinking about you? I'm stupid. And it's like, great. This checks out. He's stupid.
And then it all backfires.
Yeah. And then the whole threefold thing comes in, and just every repercussion of the threefold thing, I just didn't work for me at all. Like, there's no world in which, because Sarah cast a goofy spell in an already misguided attempt to make an asshole like her, there's no way that she deserved that comeuppance of being assaulted.
Assault.
And Rochelle's arc of at the end when, you know, she's doing a bad thing and she's kind of mindlessly following Nancy for reasons that I didn't understand. She and Bonnie look in the mirror and Bonnie has scars
completely
on her face
covered.
Again.
Right.
And then Rochelle's somehow going bald because she retaliated against a racist, which is like, no, she, that was allowed.
Right.
That was allowed.
Right.
I don't know.
Every racist should go bald.
Right, like,
and then
should
fly out of a get thrown out of a window.
Man, I really did like Skeet's death scene.
It was so good, but
like,
I felt like
what did she say? She said you're sorry, and then she's like shaking, and then he just like, you know, explodes.
But I agree with Caitlin that it like totally negates the validity of it all by then raping him before doing that. It's such a bummer.
His whole arc plays out in the same way, especially because it starts out with him asking for consent to kiss her.
Yeah.
Like, don't.
Right.
Like, don't.
And that's before
show that
he's under a spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
such a bummer.
If you're going to set up that type of behavior, then don't make that character actually end up being a gross. Because that's like behavior that we should be celebrating,
be
asking for consent.
That happens to so many characters in this movie.
Especially
that
because
set up like a troubled but possibly not irredeemable character, and then at the end they're just totally like, nope.
And I remember like rewatching this movie when I was becoming more feminism aware, you know, and thinking to myself, like, I kept hoping, because I think I like kind of forgot plot points, and I kept hoping that she would like be wanting him to fall so head over heels in love with her to, like, then teach him a proper, a good lesson.
Right.
But then it just really was because she just wanted him to like her. And I was like, damn it.
Almost immediately, once he starts to like her, she's over it.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, well.
Well, it goes back to my point of, like, two of the, like, desires of the girls are, like, I want to be hotter and I want a boy to like me. And it's like, I guess you could argue that, sure, that's what... They're teenagers. Girls. That's what teenage girls.
Right.
But I would counter argue that we're socialized to think that that's all teenage girls are capable of or should care about or do care about. Which
to be
is,
fair, one of them bullshit. Wishes that racism would no longer exist.
Yeah. And that's good.
Really, like, Rochelle kills it in the wish department.
She
Everyone
really
else
does.
Kind of
phones
she
also,
it in.
Like, kind of feels bad about it, too, which is sad. Like, she should just be like, yeah, fuck you, you're bald, deal with it, you know? But I think that that's interesting, too, which, again, is why it's such a bummer in the end when she's just, like, a crazy bitch, too.
Yeah. I mean, and really, like, yeah, selling out a developed female character to be a crazy bitch is just such
it
a
just
cheap
sucks.
Move. Also, a small character note for Sarah. She's sort of Disney princessed a little bit by No Mom. She mm-hmm, has no mom, mm-hmm. and there's sort of this, the specter of her mom is sort of being, you know, held over her head the whole time.
I totally thought about that, but only because of you, because of what you bring up always on Bechdelcast. I was like, oh yeah.
We're changing lives. We're heroes.
Yay, we did it.
We're heroes.
We did it. Yeah. And then I don't know. I mean, I wasn't dissatisfied with how that was brought back at the end with the name of the witch at the witch store is Lirio, which is a Spanish word for lily. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when Sarah almost sort of seeks out Lirio as like a maternal figure of like, here's a woman who knows something I don't and I need help and I'm scared. Mom. goes to Lirio, and Lirio is, you know, adds in, and she really is kind of like the witch ex machina at the correct moment in the movie where, oh, she has all the information and turns out Sarah will be fine no matter what. And, you know, and then we get to see that weird climactic scene. But she says, like, whatever, she's like, and your mother was a witch. Did you know that? And Sarah said, no. And she said, well, she was. You're like, well, that's... great.
How does she know?
She's the witch ex machina.
She knows everything.
She knows it all. Yeah, that was a weird... What did she do that was helpful in that scene? Genuine question.
Because doesn't it just end with, like, the shop blowing up and then that's it? But then it doesn't,
like,
really...
It gets glamour to
burst.
Throw up. Because it looks like it's exploding. And
but that's just
Sarah's
Nancy,
like,
right?
It's Nancy. So she runs away because she's still being tormented by Nancy. Yeah, I mean... That character, the witch store lady, doesn't really do anything except maybe give her the confidence later on to realize, hey, I can invoke Manon too.
It was nice to see a maternal moment for Sarah. Maybe that was like supposed to just be like, oh, and gives her strength or something. Oh, I did like that Sarah repeatedly tries to not kill Nancy, which... after a certain amount of misdeeds would have been legit, you know, and I think a lot of movies would have just made that easier move, but is repeatedly trying to make counterspells to be like, I don't want Nancy to hurt anyone else and I don't want her to hurt herself.
Yeah.
So you're just like, well, that's good looking out. And also, I don't know if I would have had that sort of restraint. I'd be like, get rid of her. Why is she so mean now? But... she
which
does
is
that.
Why it makes no sense to me that, like, if that's her character, she wants goodwill toward everyone and, like, she's looking out for people, why then does she choose to make this boy like her as her, like, main
slave.
Story arc thing?
Like, I think maybe she learned from that and learned...
Even that choice, though, like, why, if he had wronged her, why didn't she cast a spell to make his... dick
tiny
fall off or stop working or something. Yeah, like,
or just a counter spell. Yeah, something.
Yeah,
something.
But yeah, it was just a weird choice that if this had been written and directed by women, I feel like
which,
a lot of those choices
alert,
would have
it
happened.
Nope. I was also very sad when all the sharks washed up on the...
oh yeah, what a weird scene.
So sad.
I forgot about that. Where that
was like, you're making me feel bad
water.
For sharks.
Yeah.
I don't like...
that poor hammerhead.
There's just a million of them. And she's like, they're gifts.
They're like, what? fucked up, Nancy. That's fucked up.
That's pretty much exactly where the movie lost me. Because from that scene on, it's just like, well, hope you enjoyed the first part.
It also makes no sense, like, when they, because they do the seance, right? And, like, all the glass things explode and all the animals go out and whatever. Right. And then Neve Campbell is, like, sitting on the rock watching Rochelle's character is taking a beautiful nap. And then Nancy is walking across the water. And it's like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
How did we arrive here?
Happened.
Oh, here's another. Because there's not a lot of male characters in this movie, which, amazing.
Most of them end up dead by the end.
Yeah. And the remaining ones, one character, I don't know why I was like harping on this in my head. I'm like, man, it's crazy that character wasn't a pervert. The gym teacher, the swim coach.
Oh.
Yeah, except for there is the moment where, like, he definitely, like, when Laura Lily, or what is her name?
Laura Lizzie.
Which is, like, the craziest popular girl name ever.
When she, like, you know, when she takes off her cap and her hair is falling out, and then he, like, it's literally like he's like, oh, she's not hot anymore, so I won't pay attention to her. Let me look over here. And then he sees her do, like, the perfect dive, and it's like, oh, now he pays attention to the girl, the only girl of color in the whole fucking film.
I guess I didn't see it that way, because he scolded Laura once before where Laura was making fun of Rochelle, and he was like, knock it off.
But I don't think he did enough, in my opinion.
Well, he's also a character who's on screen for like 11 seconds in the whole movie.
I was lightly impressed by him.
But yeah, I mean, between Nancy's gross stepdad who has a heart attack and dies, Skeet who dies, and the snake man at the beginning is run over by a car. Yeah, it's like half the men. Because the only other male characters with speaking roles in the movie are Chris's friends.
Who is that tiny friend?
Brecken Meyer.
I was like, I know who that guy is. Who's that tiny guy?
He's in Clueless. He plays Brittany Murphy's love interest.
Little Prince Farquaad. Yeah.
Little Prince Farquaad.
And then I don't even know the other dude. One of them is Mitt and one of them is Trey, I think. I don't even know which one's which. They are basically...
Which is great.
Yeah, right. This exactly. It's like, I don't know who what these characters
are. They're
names
all the
are.
Same. They all represent the same.
Oh, so, he's in Clueless, too.
Yeah, he plays Brittany Murphy's love interest in Clueless.
Oh, in Clueless. Got it.
So I would argue that of the both male and female characters in this movie, of the women who aren't portrayed all that well, neither are any of the men. Like, all the men, except for, like, Sarah's dad, who hardly has screen time, and
he's kind of awesome.
Know. Yeah,
he is. He's such a good dad. Nice.
And then when there's like a scene where she's like laying a boundary, she's like, "Don't touch me, go away," and he's like, "Okay."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh man, that definitely happened and my dad at some point." Me just be like, "Fuck off."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Well, teenage girls are confusing."
And then when he's like, "Drop it," because you know clearly we established that they look at her wrist and they're like, "Oh, you cut it the right way." So we clearly established that, like, probably part of why they left San Francisco is because she tried to commit suicide.
A suicide attempt.
Yeah,
right.
And then when he's dropping her off at school, he's like, you know, you don't have to go right away. Like, we can, you know, we can settle in. You could take some time off.
And that's another positive part of their friendship, I thought, was that she's not shamed or pushed to be asked questions about that.
Nancy's just like, punk rock.
Right. And then like, okay, we accept you. You're our friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, cool. Okay, cool. But I don't know, man, another fun moment in the half of the movie that I liked.
Yeah. Does anyone have any final thoughts about the movie?
Just that this was written and directed by white guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, in case you couldn't have assumed that off the fact that it's a movie that was released.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just exciting that they don't really talk about boys that they like, really.
True. There like, are none not, to like.
Yeah. And so I think that that's an exciting part of it. But yeah, I think it's just a bummer that it...
Yeah.
But they're redoing it, right? Aren't they?
I
heard that they're thinking about redoing it. Which I'm like, let's cast Susie Dunn as Sarah. And let's have it be written by a woman and directed by a woman.
Oh, yeah. The Craft reboot is actually a sequel.
Oh, it's a sequel. Well,
that's cool. Or just stop rebooting things and write another movie about witchy teenagers.
Yeah.
It's true.
That'd be tight.
Sure. Speaking of characters talking to each other about things, this movie definitely does pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah. Woo! It basically passes immediately. I mean, they're not talking to each other, But they're like doing a seance and it's three girls.
Oh, with their like chanting.
Yeah. I mean, like,
this in terms of passing the test, a million times it passes.
Yeah.
It's almost like the opposite of the test. Like, the boys are the characters that are like obsessed with the girls and are like only ever talking about girls.
And men rarely talk to each other. There's like only a few scenes where there's like two men talking to each other about anything.
About how they super love a girl or how they super think she fucking sucks and is a slut and blah blah blah. But they're all punished, so that's important.
I mean, most of the time they're talking about spells and magic and
like
all the
what
stuff.
They want
they're or like what their inner conflicts with each other are, like this movie very much goes along with the theme of the more a movie passes the Bechdel test, the more it tends to be financially successful. Budget of this movie, $15 million. Box office, $56
million. All right. There you go.
Maybe write a female character. Even if you kind of fuck up the second half, still write female characters.
You did it.
Yeah.
Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Yay.
Ooh.
0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. Ooh. This is a tricky one.
This is tricky.
This is hard,
because it's doing a lot of things right. It's a female-centered movie about female friendships. At least they're friends for the first part of it until that all goes to shit. But it is very upsetting to me that the male character who asks permission to kiss a girl, because at least half of the movies we talk about, there's a surprise kiss.
And it's supposed to be romantic.
Yeah, and it's like, ooh. Or like, she's
supposed to like lift her foot up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, he's going to be, because I couldn't remember much about this movie. So when I was rewatching it, I was like, wow, is he a good guy? Are we supposed to like him? I like him right now. And then every story beat after that is like, oh, no,
horrifying.
He's a nightmare person.
Right.
So yeah, there's the female friendships. And for the most part at the beginning, they're uplifting each other and they're supporting each other. And the movie isn't specifically, it's not about, the goal isn't they're trying to win over a man's love or anything like that. They're basically just trying to get better at witchcraft and
women and magic,
although it is like, okay, Manon is a man. They keep using the he pronoun, so it's like, all right, why couldn't it be like a goddess,
especially because they're basically describing Mother Nature. I'm like, why is he a guy all of a sudden?
Especially when they have Sarah then say Mother Earth, like, why wouldn't they, like, if they're putting that pinnacle thing and have her say that last, you know?
So I think it had a lot of potential, but the movie, especially by the end, whenever all the girls have basically turned on each other and it's not, you know, this feminist masterpiece that we're all hoping for anymore, I'm going to give it, I guess, like 2.5 nipples. Okay. I almost said stars.
We've been doing it a year.
I know, but stars are 5 pointed things, which is like a very witchy thing. The pentagram, is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yes, queen.
Let me consult my crystals. And
oh my gosh, I brought my crystals still.
They're in my pocket.
Mine's in my backpack. Well,
I have to see them after.
Okay,
have it in your pocket right now?
Oh my
god, wait,
right now.
Let me see.
ASMR rattle them.
Oh my god!
There's so many.
Where did you guys go to get these?
House of Intuition, Echo Park.
Yeah, I work right by the one that's over here.
Oh, fun!
Yeah.
So I am gonna give it. I'll give it 3. Oh, maybe I'd give it 2.5. It's a bummer because all the characters have so much agency. They're, with the exception of, I wish we had seen Rochelle's home life. I think it's really bizarre that the only person of color in the whole movie doesn't have a home life.
So dumb.
But, I mean, even excluding that, we're given a background for all of these female characters, and then they turn out to be crazy, they turn out to be blah, blah, blah. Like, there's just, the second half of this movie was a big disappointment. But in the first half of the movie, we see so much more of a fully developed female character than we would see in almost any other movie. So it's hard. Nancy is kind of one of the bigger bummers for me because it's just like she's the child of an alcoholic and then ends up in a mental asylum. Like, that is not a good message.
Yeah, it's such a bummer.
It's bad. We don't find out what happens to her mom or whatever. Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed the first half of this movie. If you happen to fall asleep in the middle, don't rewind it. You probably saw the fun part. I'll give it 2.5 nipples. I'll give 1 to Rochelle. I'll give 1 to Nancy. And then I'll give 0.5 nippy to the gym teacher who didn't bother me.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I didn't give my nipples away. There aren't any cats in this movie, so I don't know
who to give them to. Which is weird.
Right? That is weird that there's no cats.
There's a million. Give it to those worms and scorpions.
There's maggots. There's all
kinds. Do scorpions have nipples?
There's spiders. Spiders have 8 legs. This has been Spider Facts with Caitlin.
Just like how cats have 8 nipples.
Exactly.
There we go.
I wish this movie was about 4 witches who, like, people wronged them in, like, that they were racist toward them or that they were, like, assaulting them. And they're like, I'm going to get revenge. And then they get revenge and then the world's a better place. That's what this movie should be about. I don't know why. I'll write it. I'll write that movie. Anyway, would you like to write the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are spot on with 2.5. Like, I think that there are so many things that it did well, and then it, like, all of a sudden just, like, flipped and did it bad. Like, and then, you know, again, like, this stuff with Rochelle, like, yeah, I think that it was really strong and cool to show that black girls do deal with white girls being racist to them in high school. But then they don't show her home life. They, like, only make her, like, the 2D character of the 4 other girls that they kind of make 3D
characters.
Yeah,
I feel like she has the fewest lines of all of them and stuff.
I think so,
and they don't have anybody else of color to, like, back her up. And then they, like,
give the girl a family, too.
Right,
give her more than a front door.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I think 2.5 nipples is a good rating. Yeah.
Who gets your nips?
Oh, man. Okay, well, yeah, definitely I think Rochelle gets one of them for sure. I think the, like, store owner definitely gets one.
Witch Ex Machina.
Yeah, Witch Ex Machina. Yeah. And then also I think that probably Sarah's stepmom could get the half nipple. Because, I mean, she's not really in the movie, but she, like, clearly is very supportive of them. And, like, she uprooted her life because of what happened with Sarah. And
she gets on that 8-minute flight.
I feel like it's, like, a good, healthy family relationship. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we
there's a lot of speculating there.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's what you have to do with most movies, to fill in the blanks. Oh, I wonder what this female character must be like. Well, I'll just
a positive depiction of a stepmom
but
is pretty.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like there's so many, like, times in real life and in movies and stories where, like, yeah, the stepmom is, like, horrible and, like, wouldn't even let the dad, like, have that relationship with
his daughter. Subverts the Disney trope a little bit. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Susie, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Where can people follow you online?
Well, you guys can check out Act Like a Girl, as we said before. All the handles for socials for that are at Act Like a Girl TV. And then my personal handle is _bosswitch.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You can follow the Bechdel Cast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our website.
Subscribe on iTunes. Rate it. Review it.
Spotify? Sure.
Spotify.
Go for it. We're not stopping
Stitcher.
You. Stitcher.com, I think. Or maybe it's an app.
I think it's an app.
Okay.
Probably has a website still, though.
Probably, if you type in Stitcher.com, it probably won't be porn. It'll probably be a website where you can maybe find our podcast.
And also, Earth, Fire, Wind, and Water.
Which one are you?
I'm Fire. Aristotle is Earth. Susie, you're Water. And Jamie, you're...
I'm Manith. I'm God.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the 2nd
annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.